Good morning. I'm making sure people are smiling. One of the best things you can do for somebody else is smile. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. Thank you for coming for Sunday school. We're praying for 100 attendants all around. So let's keep praying for that. And when we hit it, people are already saying they're sponsoring Tim Hortons for a year. On this side, a bunch of people on this side. No, just kidding, just kidding. Acts chapter number 2. In verse number 42, we're studying this real church, and now we come to the lesson number 7, and it's real fellowship. There's a couple of sign up over here. One of them in particular I would think would be beneficial to our church. Not that the other one is not, but one of our members is speaking at it, Miss Brianna. It'd be a good encouragement if we showed up for her. We're a family, right? It's not too far away. If you happen to be available, go. Join that and show your support. She's attempting something great for the Lord, and she can't do it without our prayers. She can't do it without our support. She can't do it without God. And so let's help her out. It's that purple thing right there at Old Time Baptist Church. There's a few people signed up. I know it's at the end of April still. And Kenny, I love those shoes. I cannot not say anything when you walk by. And I love the jacket. Nice to see you, brother. But anyways, let's support her. And she's got a lot of transition happening with her schoolwork. And she's going to do about this very slow. She's got her brother to help her, pastor here. And I'm going to do the best I can to help her. So let's be patient. And let's wait for God to open doors. And so it would be exciting if you would do that. Also, door hanger, there's a few people already signed up. It is important if you sign up so we know we can prepare for a snack, all right? So that we have enough snack for you. There's already a few people signed up. This will happen April 8th. I was going to do it April 1st, but we got men's breakfast, and so a lot of things happening already that morning. But this is the next Sunday, and right the next day is Resurrection Sunday. So maybe God will use it to get people thinking about going to church. Typically, people go to church on that day. And so it would be neat to see a door hanger. Or if you see them, the weather's getting nice. So maybe we'll get to see some people. But sign up. There's two sessions, and we provide nursery for you if you want to bring kids. There'll be people staying behind for the 2 to 3:30 p.m. You can come. And then you got the 3 to 30 to 5 p.m. If you want to come the whole day, that's fine too. Okay, that's not a problem. It's 2 to 5, so it's 3 hours of door hanging. North Collins is not as big as Eden, so I'm anticipating. Last year, you saw when you walk out this door, on your left bulletin board over here has already been presented for us. There's the map for North Collins. Start praying about that. And there's already pictures of us, those that came. And some are not in the picture. I know there's people that came to that was not in the picture. We're going to try to do that and promote that, all right? Anybody can come. All right? Okay, good. Anybody can come, all right? Bring your family. Bring your family. If you're a little kid, bring a stroller. They might think we're all a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses at that point. Just don't bring briefcases, all right? Dress casually. You don't have to wear a tie or suit. Dress casually. Now, for the older generation, that means something else. For the younger generation, that means something else. Just don't bring any appropriate things that would cause us to be an offense, okay? We want to be a good testimony in that neighborhood, and we want the gospel to reach them. And bring a smile and show them the love of Christ in that way. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. We're talking about real fellowship. This is a good lesson, I believe, and I got ample time. We're going to try to finish it today. And the next week, we're going to have Brother Nelligan come back and teach, all right? He's going to go back on that Goliath and David and those challenges that David put in himself, daring himself to do something for the Lord. All right? So, anticipating that. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. At this point, you should be there. If not, don't worry about it. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. We know the context. Let me read you verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So salvation takes place, then baptism. All right, salvation is first, and then baptism. And after baptism, the next thing to do is then to be plugged in a local church. Jerusalem was a local church. Now, they were exploding at this time in history. They had a lot of people coming. 3,000 at one point added to the church. That's a lot of green handshaking. That's a lot of exciting things that's happening at that moment. And so people were added to the church. And then the very next verse, God did not make a mistake putting that verse right at the very next verse. So you get people saved, you get them baptized, you get them added to the church. All right? That's fulfillment of Matthew chapter number 28. And then, what else do you do now? Well, look at verse number 42. And they continued. Christian life is a life of continuance, all right? You don't get saved and it's all set. You're done. No. It's a redemptive work. You redeem at that time, but then the work of justification happened at that time. Means you were justified, you were sinner, and now you come in repentance. You turn around from every wrong thinking that's against Scripture about salvation. Even maybe you were trusting your good works, it was trusting the things that you did, your religion, whatever it is that you were trusting, a certain thoughts or creed in your mind that made you think that that's going to get you to heaven. You repent out of all of those and you turn to Christ and you agree with Christ and say, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You turn from all of that. Well, so I wasn't religious. Well, you turn from the life that is against God. Sin is anything against God. And you just turn from that and say, this life is no good. This life is not going to amount to anything. This life is full of misery and sorrow. I'm going to turn from there. There has to be a better way. And then you turn to Jesus. All right? You turn to Jesus. At any point you turn to Jesus, your life then starts. At that point, we follow Jesus in believer's baptism. We had several baptized last week, the last few weeks, and we're going to have baptism today. So we're excited about that. And then the goal is for them to be in a church because discipleship starts. Discipleship starts. We have to teach them the rest of the story. We have to teach them the rest of the story that God clearly gives us in His Word. What next? Well, we need to start being a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, we have to act a certain way. We have to separate from the life that we once had into this new life. And so here comes one of those principles, and it's very key in the church if we get this down. What is true fellowship? Because we coin it different things, and at times we might get confused. But let's look at it this morning. What is it? You hear and you relate this word with fellowship a lot of times, socializing. We might think it's socializing, all right? Now, socializing can happen many places, not just in the church. When you get a group of people gathered up, you can have this idea of socializing. In fact, a lot of times there's a lot of digital socializing. There's a lot of social platform media that you can socialize in a digital fashion, all right? It could be through places where you go to work. It could be places where you go to school. It could be a particular sports or a particular hobby you enjoy, and there's a group of people that you're socializing with, all right? So that's the idea of socializing, all right? Socializing can be a part of real fellowship, all right? But it is not the same and cannot replace true fellowship according to the Scripture, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Christian fellowship provides encouragement and growth. That's the very basic idea of what true biblical Christian fellowship is. The purpose is for us to what? For us to get encouragement and grow. That's the purpose of true fellowship. It's not just talking about something we like in this earthly life we live, although that is a part of it. All right? You're mighty strange. If you go to somebody and talk about something that's alien to them, and I'm looking at the world today, as you talk to them about Jesus Christ, and a lot of our soul winning has geared and been geared up to religious people, people that know about Jesus already. They know a sense of what a church is. They know a sense of some of the basic truths of the Bible. But our generation is becoming very biblically illiterate. You have children that don't know Jesus, like most of us know. So older generation, you have to adapt to the times. Not that you have to change the message of the gospel. You have to be more practical now in approaching children that when you say, do you remember Jesus dying on the cross? They're going to say, who in the world are you talking about? You have to start to develop foundations that before you didn't. Missionaries do it all the time. Missionaries that go to countries that are not foundationally Christian. If they're at any point other than Christian, Hinduism, places that practice Buddhism, and places that practice Islam, they don't know Jesus. They don't have the context of religious growth in their environment. And so you have to go back and break up some of those some of those teachings that we kind of take for granted in America when we go soul winning. All right? But I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming in our country where they're going to look at you, what is that word? What does the word save mean? It's going to be more strange to them than it's going to be more relevant to them. It's going to be stranging. It's going to be more strange. So we have to learn our scripture and know the basis of our salvation so that we can reach them in a very specific way they need to be reached. All right? It provides encouragement and growth. Another thing Christian true fellowship is, it has a purpose. All right? It's purposeful. And it is to make Christ the center. We rally together with Christ. He's the rallying point. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what gender you are, in the sense of there's only two genders. Okay, let me make that clear. That statement is not the same as it used to be. All right? I mean a man or a woman. That's all I mean when I say that. It doesn't matter what gender you are in that context. God is God. And Jesus is the rallying point. It doesn't matter if we're Americans or we're not Americans. That is the rallying point. Doesn't matter if we have status of life or we are less fortunate in life. That is the rallying point. That is the center of it. The reason Faith Bible Baptist Church existed in the first place and continue to exist today is because of the rallying point. Christ is the reason. That's the reason for fellowship. Christ has to be the reason. Your topic has to come around to Christ at one point or another. About the things he teaches, about the things he performs, he behaves, his life. It has to come around your fellowship. When you're fellowship with people, eventually there has to be a glimmer of that in there somewhere. It cannot be all earthly. Although earthly fellowship is not bad. It's a starting point because we're all humans. It would be easier for me to talk about Buffalo Bills in this area than to convince them that Longhorns are a good team. It would be more relatable for me to wear a Buffalo Bills hat so that I can start a conversation with somebody that might be a Buffalo Bills fan. Would that be okay? I'm not going to promote basketball here because basketball is not pretty big here. There's something that I'm not used to. Hockey is huge here. Some of you guys go to hockey games. I don't know what it is. Not something I got into. And so there's nothing wrong with socializing because we're humans and we live in earth. We're going to talk about our dresses. I don't have dresses, but I'm talking to you ladies. You're going to talk about the dresses. You're going to talk about your hairdos. You're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. It is absolutely normal because we're humans. We have to talk about those things. But eventually your fellowship to not just be socializing and to have some purpose and to bring Christ in the center of your that particular fellowship, bring Christ in there somehow. There's a lot of practical truths of Scripture you can talk about on a daily basis. how to be a mother. How to be a mother. You can talk about how to be a mother. In your conversation in a daily basis, you can talk about what it is to work. The Bible says that we are supposed to work. Right? We have purpose in that. All right? So remember that. Relate, and even in soul winning, if you heard any kind of soul winning seminar, they always will make you relate to the people, either at looking at their house and make mention of the house and comment on how nice it is. Don't flatter them, okay, if it's not nice. Find something else nice. But even in that, somebody was wise enough to get this concept of fellowship. When you're relating to people, you have to be human. And it's not a wonder God used us to reach each other. There's a reason for why God did that. There's a reason for why God did that, all right? Because he knows what he's doing. All right? So not only the purpose of it is Christ-centered, it provides a level of friendship not available through any other venue. Fellowship will create long-lasting, biblical, Christian friendship. Long-lasting, biblical friendship. Anybody want a true, genuine Christian to be your friend today? I would. I can take as many of them as I need. I want them all. If I can get them all, I want them all. All right? You're not going to find that anywhere else. All right? Except in the context of church family. Why? Because we're limited in time and space. Now, I understand we can fellowship with other churches and we can fellowship with other Christians at other venues. All right? And into media. But there's nothing like rubbing shoulders with somebody on a weekly basis and you see them in church. They go to your church and you go to their church. And that's a beauty that God designed. We should have friendships built in this place. Especially our church has been around for 40 years. And some of us have been coming for longer than, not longer than that, but maybe as long as that. And some maybe 30, 20 years. There should be enough time that we have developed some biblical, long-lasting, true friendship. Because of fellowship. Real biblical fellowship. All right? Are we still together? Christian fellowship is going to be defined for us here in 3 points, and it's not exhausted in these 3 points, but we're going to look at these 3 points because of the sake of time, and we might visit this throughout our life, what is true fellowship. Number one, Christian fellowship has this characteristic. It will establish faith. It will establish your faith. It would help make your faith in Jesus Christ stronger if you're practicing true fellowship. All right? So your answer there in your blank, if you have your notes, is faith. All right? F-A-I-T-H. The unsaved world makes... Let's pray. I don't think we prayed. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us this morning. Guide our thoughts. Guide us, Lord, our hearts. I pray that you bless today. Thank you for the visitors that are here. Thank you for our friends. The days are here. And others, Lord, I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you for a wonderful day you're already given. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine. Lord, men and women have prayed this morning. Pray answer their prayers. Lord, I pray that you bless each and every class, each and every teacher, and each and every assistant. Bless us even as we prepare for the next service in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The unsaved world makes an ongoing and constant assault on our faith. Would you not agree with that in our day-to-day? In our current age, do they not attack the very faith you hold dear? The truth that we believe in? It's under attack. And guess what? They ain't gonna stop. Young people, they're not gonna stop. And if we are now the church, and there's a lot of us here, we enjoyed a game last night. We were shooting darts all over the place here. Adults, don't freak out. We cleaned it out. We had a lot of fun. But what a reminder of our life now that there is a battle. And the battle is still raging. And as our elders that have our parents and our grandparents that come to the church here, thank you. Thank you for your faith. But now help us, because we have to stand up ourselves too. As you stood for some things, we need to stand for some things. Help us. Teach us. Guide us. All right? We need your help. We need you in the fight. And young people, we need them in the fight. They may dress different. Their idea of fellowship is different. They're probably playing Yahtzee. We're not going to play Yahtzee. They might enjoy bingo. I'm not sure. But that's not the games we're going to play. But at any rate, we need each other and we need the church to work together because we are under attack. There is a direct attack on the foundation of our faith. They're attacking the very foundation of our faith. Anything that was established in Genesis is under attack. And it's not going to stop. And we have children, we have to get them. We have to get them to know the truth that we have been taught by our parents and our grandparents. We have to teach them too. Some of us are desiring children, praying for all the desiring children. And I'm glad that young people are wanting to have children. Praise the Lord. There's subtle discouragement from living a separated Christian life. We're not getting harsh persecution, but we're getting some hints of they don't like where we stand. And you have to stand. You have to stand in some of the things you believe. Now these days, as our parents did, they're going to ask you, why do you do that? And you're going to have an answer. And it cannot be the answer your grandparents said because their battles were different. Their battles were different. We have to know the era and the time we live. And the battles are coming our way are things they never battled. I've asked them already, how would you answer this? They look at me like, man, I never dealt with that. But let me give you some principle from Scripture, which will help us. But then we have to have some answers. We need to have some answers in our day. Our children are going to ask questions. They're going to see a world that our grandparents did not see. And we're going to have answers for our children. We're going to have answers for them. Christian fellowship works to establish our faith. This is a haven for us. This is a place we can run to and we can celebrate who Jesus is. It's not that the place, and as we open the hymn books, we're not going to worry about the songs we're singing. It's going to be songs that lift up his name and that minister to our soul. Because we have been bombarded with teachings and philosophies and garbage that we don't believe in. That attack our faith. And we come here and we hear a preacher say the things we believe. And thus we can say, I agree. Amen. Amen, pastor. Amen, brother. Amen. And this is where you get recharged. And pastor said this and I agree with him. We should be more in our scriptures today than ever before. We should be under more preaching than ever before. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil lie to you. You should know the Bible more. You should know the Bible more today. Look at Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Faith is established through fellowship. It is a tool God uses to sharpen us as a group of people called a family in this local area. Look at letter A. Because of continuance. How is faith established by true biblical fellowship? Because of continuance. Salvation, I said this earlier, salvation is only the beginning point in your walk with the Lord. True faith is ongoing. True faith is ongoing. It's living faith. All right? It's also living faith. It moves on to everyday life. Guys, we have to know what God says so that we can make the right choices in circumstances and situation that arises in our lives. So as the world heralds to us their philosophy and their thinking, we have to be, as Christian, know enough of what God says to either agree that it's okay and it's something we can participate in, or is something, no, it is not okay. It is not something we can participate in. Our children are being educated. You have to make some choices. I'm not going to tell you how to make this choice. This is up to you. This is not up to me. Is you the husband and the wife, if you raise a child, how are you going to educate them? That's a choice you have to make. That's a choice you have to make. Are you going to let the world educate them? You're going to let the Department of Education of the United States of America educate your children and teach them things ain't no institution except the home should be teaching them. It's your job, Dad. It's your job, Mom, to teach them some of the very delicate things of life. No, ain't nobody stranger teaching them that. I don't even, as your pastor, would dare teach them that. That is your job. If you got a question, you come to me. But you have to teach them. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility, my friends. As I'm responsible for the home that I have, I'm responsible to answer the question of my children. If they ask me, Dad, why do we go to church? Boy, oh boy, I better have an answer for that. And it has to be a biblical answer. And it has to have some reason to it. It has to make sense. And I have to pray for understanding in their heart that they would understand what I'm about to say. You find sometimes faith is hard to explain. You have to experience some of it. And sometimes my answer is, I don't know, son. I don't know. This is what the Bible says. I just chose to believe it, and this is what happens. I showed them a testimony this week. Incredible testimony. Something small, maybe. I don't know. If you judge, I don't care. Whatever. I don't know. I don't even know if it's small or big. Maybe let's not make that a big deal. But the big deal is, God is involved in the barren family's life. Let me say that. I think you say that. My wife and I were talking about something we desired. Something we wanted. Very specific. What we wanted. We don't have the money for it at this time. Because our money is assigned to other things that is more important than this particular item. Well, a few months walked by. A fellow from a church walked to me. Looked at me in the eye and said, God wants me to talk to you. And God wants me to give this to you. I'm like, and he said the item. He said the item that he was going to give me. And I was trying to compose myself. And I looked at my wife on our way home. And I said, ain't God true to his word? It's not important what the item was. What important I want you to realize is God is involved in your life. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what's going on. Plus, not only did that item come, but there's accessories with the item that came. Plus, not only was that item in the plus accessory, there's two other items that came with the same item and other accessories. And then, not to be braggadocious, but I want to give God glory for my children. I'm using this as an illustration because you could do this at home. I laid the items on the table, and I said, did you guys not hear Mom and Dad talk about this item? And the kids said, yes. Well, here it is. Here it is. And what did I do? I used that to let them know God is a personal God that deals with you personally. Because someday they're going to ask me for things. They're going to ask me, Dad, I want this. Well, let me look at our situation. We don't have that currently. Can we pray? And then let God provide. I have to be careful what I'm saying to you because it's very real for my daughter. And don't say anything to her. She's trying to save for a camp fee. All right? I'm not saying that for you to do anything. Let God do it. Sometimes we get ahead of God. Let God do some stuff. Because it'll be powerful. I could totally provided. And there's already provision for this. But please don't say anything to her. I'm very, very serious about this. Don't say anything to her. We're going to provide for her junior camp. And she's at this stage, she's 12. She can do the junior and she can go to summer teen camp. She wants to go to teen camp. And she knows dad can only afford one camp. And she says, well, I'm praying for the second camp. She's praying for things to do. Well, unbeknownst to me, she was outside playing on our property. There's a school up there. I don't even know how to explain how to do this. But a $20 bill blew over our parking lot, our driveway. She comes running inside and says, I have a $20 bill. And she says, this is because of the camp that I've been praying for. I'm like, I didn't say anything to her. Nothing. I'm not saying we're a perfect family. And that's not all. This is not to braggadocio. That's not the purpose. The purpose is we have a real God that cares for us in a real way. And so what I'm talking about, see, my daughter is saved. I'm saved. My wife is saved. Guess what we're practicing and fellowshipping in at home as a family? Because we're brothers and sisters, technically. We're fellowshipping about the things of God. That God answers prayer. That God is a real being. That God hears you. That God provides. Do you not see then that that now establishes our faith as a family? So can I now put that on this perspective as our church family? Some of you have been praying for children and I'm praying hard for you. God's going to get the job done. And guess what? When you make that statement finally, we're going to look at it and say, we have a real God. And how will that establish us, our family here, our faith? You see how fellowship is good for us? That's why it's okay, guys, after the church, to sit down and say, hey, how's your car? Yeah, I need tires. It's just human. It's okay to socialize about those things. But then bring that earthly relationship to a higher level by real, real fellowship. I've been enjoying my time with people as they invite me to their house, as we go out together. Almost every time that I've talked to anybody, it comes rolling around the principles of Scripture. Whether it's older couple, whether it's older man or younger lady, with my wife and me, it comes around. And you know what? I love it. I believe that we're practicing real fellowship. Now, some of us think, well, it's preaching all the time. No, that's not the point. We're not preaching. We're not preaching. I'm loving some of the young adult times. Some of you are young adults would like this. Because as we come, there is no set time that we're preaching to each other for that fellowship. I'm not saying this should be done to everything. It's just using this as an illustration. But I have some very, very profitable conversations with the young adults of our church. Because I'm not really a young adult anymore. I'm really an old man, I guess. I'm past. Pastors keep extending 36. I'm lying to him. I'm 38, so I should not be in that group. But I enjoyed it last night. I did. I did enjoy it. I won. And I killed people. I betrayed people. They're going to forgive me. And they're going to vote yes tonight still. Anyways. And so we enjoyed our time. And there was some conversation. And it's private, so I'm not talking about it here. But there's some good quality fellowship. Good quality question they ask. So, fellowship is that, okay? Let's not miss that. Let's not miss that. Teaching and preaching has its place. That's what I'm doing today. But fellowship, good godly fellowship in the church, should reinforce the teaching and the preaching. Correct? Because then it will work hand in hand. And in a way, it's kind of like, that's the way when we get to preach to each other. That's when we get to teach each other. And the pastor has to do what he has to do up here. But then as a congregation, you still have a part. And if you agree with the truth of the Word of God, you help us in your relationship amongst the family. All right? Pastor does a good job of this. Pastor said, does this. We always talk about spiritual things at the end. Talk about a bunch of different things, but then rallies point. There's very biblical things. Pastor, every time I talk to pastors, always some fellowship. Ask them, how are you doing? It goes back to and Brother Mike, the same. There's others. Brother Kelly. I don't want to miss anybody. I talked to a lot of people. It's so good. Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it under the day of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Practically what he's going to use. He's going to use your fellowship as a tool to get that done. All right? Fellowship with other believers was one of the ways God worked to establish their faith. Your faith will be strengthened with theirs. And I gave you that example. Let's go quickly. Because of continuance in the truth. All right? They specifically continued in the apostles' doctrine. If we're not careful, we allow Christian fellowship to disintegrate into simple socializing. Rather than remembering the truth that binds us together, we allow the bulk of our conversation to be focused on sports. And this is just some illustration, okay? Hobbies or other peripherals. Topics that even the world talks about. We may have some of those interests in common and enjoy talking about them, but we must remember that real fellowship is based in the common faith we have in Jesus Christ. That's the special we have in the church here. We just don't get to talk about life. We also get to talk about the spiritual application of that truth in life. So that's amazing. We get to talk about eternal things, not just temporal things. Although the temporal things is a good stepping point to be relatable enough so that we can express to them the spiritual things. That's why Jesus used parable many a times. It's an early story. He's trying to relate to those people he was living with. And then he always brought heavenly truths. And in our conversation, in our fellowship, may we pray prayerfully and our heart be sensitive to the Holy Ghost that eventually will come to that. Now, if all your fellowshipping is spiritual teaching, then get a classroom and teach. You understand what I'm saying? Not all your conversations should be centered upon spiritual things. Because we're humans. We don't want to have a doxology on angelology. Let's meet at Tim Hortons and we're going to talk about angelology. Now sit down. This is what God says. And you use big words. And they're going to look at you like, what in the world are we doing? Can we talk about the weather for starters? All right. So there's a difference between teaching and preaching than fellowship. Don't get lost. But there has to be an element of spirituality in every true biblical fellowship. But it cannot be lost to teaching. All right. And you're going to have a lot of friends. You know what I mean by that? I'm trying to be practical here. I'm trying to be real with us. You're not going to have a lot of friends. I have to be able to talk to my son about fishing before I can talk to my son about how to find the right lady in his life. You understand? I have to relate to my son before I can impart to him any kind of truth that is more substantial. Because we are natural men. We don't want to talk about spiritual things. Because we are naturally prone to be carnal. And so, just like Jesus did many a times, he healed people. That's relatable. Imagine if you were sick for a long time and somebody came along and said, it's gone. It's supernatural, a miracle, and you're like, whoa, what just happened? But then it's relatable, and you say, wow. I know I was sick, but now I'm no longer sick. And then that man that healed you says, by the way, I want to talk to you about me being the Son of God. And would you know? I mean, it's just going to be natural. The guy's going to just like, oh, sure, go ahead. You understand that? He touched his physical ailment, related to him in an earthly way. Because God doesn't have to heal any of us of any kind of sickness. That was not the goal in mind. Why would he heal something we messed up? Did you not get that? And this is, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm not trying to be mean. Any sickness we have is a result of a sin-cursed world because of our choice to sin. So why would God spend all of his time healing us when he rather would just say, and he's had it already planned out. He's got celestial bodies for anybody to get saved. He's got it all prepared. So why would he concentrate all of his time to get us what we want in the physical world when that is not the main point? The main point, he might do that just to show you, hey, I am touched with the feelings of your infirmities. I know what you're going through. I suffered hunger. I was sleeping in the boat. I took naps. I like a shirt. Jesus takes naps. That's a spiritual thing to do sometimes. I remember Pastor, I don't forget it. He said, sometimes the most spiritual thing to do is take a nap. And there's a lot of truth to that. If you're tired and angry, you have a lot harder time to suppress and be temperate. Take a nap. And it'll help you. Okay? Get a perspective. I am going to finish this lesson. That's great. That's fine, because the Lord has a reason for this. Look at this. If we're not careful, we allow that to happen. The Bereans were commended because they made the spiritual truth a centerpiece of their fellowship. If these people are searching the scripture daily to know whether the preacher or the teacher was saying the truth, would you not say this? And this might be a stretch. As they did this as a group, somebody taught them this. All right? That they did this. And if they did this, would you not agree with me that at times when they got together, they would talk about what they searched out? Some of you are studying things. Some of you are in college again. And I've been hearing about what you're going to study. It's just in us as people. Because we want to learn. And if we learn something, guess what? The first thing we're going to do, we're going to find somebody we know and like, hey, guess what I found out? Guess what I learned? Guys, this is really cool. Right? And so I think these people were talking. And they had that in fellowship. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This church had faith that was established because their growth in doctrine and their diligence to study God's word. Here's a question to ask yourself. What are my friendships based on? As a Christian now, as a biblical, a born-again child of God, according to scripture, what are my friendships based on? Why am I friends to people? What is the purpose of my friendship? Why is the foundation of this friendship? Or you can ask, what is the point of interest that binds me to my friends? That's a good question. That's a good question. Now, some of us gotten saved after we already developed friends in life. And may I suggest this, our goal then now as a saved Christian is to try to influence them to get saved, maybe. Well, not maybe, that's what we should do. But then now as a Christian, we should develop Christian friends within the church. And the basis again should be Jesus Christ. Last verse I'm going to read, and we'll continue this next time we finish point number one here. Ephesians 2:20-22. And we'll be done this morning. We'll call it quits. Ephesians 2:20-22. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Remember Acts 2:42? They were supposed to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is that about? Well, Ephesians tells us. All right? Ephesians 2:20-22. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And who was the chief cornerstone? Class, who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the reason we fellowship. It should come around to it eventually. Jesus has to be brought up. Either the way he dealt with a situation, either how he reacted, his attitude with people, his non-prejudicial attitude with people maybe, his unconditional love maybe, his justice, his holiness. Those topics has to come in our fellowship. Because then that will be purposeful that we would what? We would establish our faith. But don't forget to talk about earthly things. Because humans, we relate to that. Some of you are talking about Medicare because you're in that stage. What do I do? I got an agent you can call. You can say, now I'm talking about raising children. Some of us here are raising children together. We're young couples. We have little children. Guess what? We're going to have some commonality. And guess what? Our fellowship has provided some learning experiences amongst us. And that should be the beauty of fellowship. And that establishes our faith. Look at this, verse 21. He's the chief cornerstone in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The local church is a building not of bricks, although, yes, we have a physical place to meet here, but of people. Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. And the apostles' teaching, which is now recorded for us in our day in the New Testament, is the foundation. So as you fellowship, get around to Jesus. Somehow, some way. Don't force it. Don't make it all about that. Now, that sounds bad. But you know what I'm trying to get at. Be relatable. A friend that had friends must show himself friendly. Man, you have to talk about some weird things sometimes. And there's verses, I don't have time, where Paul says, I have made all things to all men, that by some I might save some. And that's what he was talking about. To the weak, I became as weak. To the law, those that are under the law, I became the Jews. And those that are not under the law, found by the Gentiles, he was relatable. Lord bless us as we follow through biblical fellowship, that we're not just stuck socializing. And I pray that we would be effective. In Jesus' name, amen.